A final night to savour in the UEFA Champions League. 18 matches, all at the same time, and more drama than a Hollywood movie. The standout moment came in Portugal, where Benfica's goalkeeper headed in an incredible injury time goal to push his side into the top 24 on goal difference. In the race for the top eight, Sporting, Barcelona and Manchester City are straight through to the last 16. Bodo Glimt and Club Brugge also won the race for a place in the top 24 and will be in the knockout phase of this season's competition. It was relentless from minute one. We'll talk you through all of the stories as they developed on a fascinating final night of the league phase. I'm Chris Parrott, and there is a lot to get through. Fascinating stuff. Delighted to be joined by the European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentators Richard Connolly and Mike Sewell as we look back on what was a scarcely believable at time climax to the Champions League phase. I'll begin with you, Kevin. There were 17 clubs chasing the final nine places to go through. What we didn't know was that it was going to go down to the very final touch.
Just incredible. A night of ups and downs, twists and turns, exactly what we hoped it would be, exactly what we saw last season in the sense that it went right down to the wire, and Benfica proving that you never should give up, because they took it right down to the wire with the final moment of their game, and their goalkeeper scored a beautiful header. No scrappy goal this, a towering far post header from a wonderful free kick, by the way, from Alsnes, who won that free kick in the first place. Jose Mourinho still having big dramatic moments in the Champions League.
Richard, we wondered where the major tale would be, but in truth, over the whole night, there was so much movement into the top eight, into the top 24, out of the top 24. This final night of the league phase, second season of it, it's one of the great evenings of European and world football to look forward to.
Yeah, you just never know where the next twist is coming. And if you'd said again at the beginning of the night that it was going to come in Lisbon in the 98th minute and it was going to involve a goalkeeper scoring one of the greatest headers you'll ever see, we would all have told you that it was impossible, that it was just too crazy to imagine. But there we are. Those were the facts of the matter. Lots of teams will be trying to pick up the pieces and feeling really quite hard done by. Others will be utterly delighted. The thrills and spills of so much action on the same night.
And we don't have to wait too long as well for the knockout phase playoffs to begin. And then after that, the last 16. And we all know how thrilling the Champions League is at the back end. But now we have this night, Mike Sewell, when there are 18 matches kicking off at the same time. You were mostly kind of looking out for the race for the top eight. And ultimately that didn't disappoint. We'll go into the absolute details of it. But there were many twists and turns in that too.
There were many twists and turns. And the main headline is, and it refers to headlines as well, the national media in Portugal will have a bit of a dilemma because both their teams scored in injury time to get themselves into the positions they wanted to. You mentioned Benfica getting into the top 24. Well, Sporting, who scored in the fourth minute of added time through Alisson Santos, moved into the top eight right at the 11th hour. So what are they going to do about their headline split tomorrow morning? But that's how it finished there. And yeah, there's plenty of other action to talk about elsewhere.
Yeah, Lisbon. Lisbon is going to be partying tonight on both sides of that great divide. Okay, let's run through all of the scores. Finished. PSV 1, Bayern 2, Benfica 4, Real Madrid 2, Ajax 1, Olympiacos 2, Club Brugge 3, Marseille 0, Liverpool 6, Karabag 0, Arsenal 3, Karat Almaty 2, Leverkusen 3, Villarreal 0, Paphos 4, Slavia Praha 1, Frankfurt 0, Tottenham 2, Napoli 2, Chelsea 3, Barcelona 4, Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 2, Galatasaray 0, Atletico 1, Bodo Glimt 2, Union Saint-Gilloise 1, Atalanta 0. Athletic Club 2, Sporting 3. Dortmund 0, Inter 2. And Monaco 0, Juventus 0. It was a remarkable night, as I mentioned. Goals galore, 18 games. Here is how a historic evening unfolded. Welcome to the final night of this season's league phase.
A Paris penalty then in the fourth minute here. Dembele shoots and Pope saves. Flying to his left-hand side, he makes a brilliant save. Petinha beats one and finds the corner. What a lovely goal.
There's been an important goal in the race for a top eight finish.
Manchester City 1, Galatasaray 0. No prizes for telling me who scored the goal. His seventh of the Champions League campaign, Erling Haaland.
Vlad Dragomir may well have scored the goal of the night for Paphos. They're 1-0 up. He has leathered one with his left foot into the top corner.
Penalty in Italy for Chelsea against Napoli. Enzo Fernandez sends it into the bottom corner. Chelsea, who started the night in eighth position, have an early lead here. There are a lot of happy people at the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona because Napoli have equalised at home to Chelsea. Antonio Vergara.
Arsenal have a third against Kairat Almaty. That surely seals top spot for Arsenal in the league phase.
Big goal in Italy again, having trailed 1-0 to Chelsea. This goal has been scored by Rasmus Højlund. Napoli into the top 24, Chelsea out of the top 8.
Tonali takes straight ball right down the centre. Burns going to have a chance here. Nods it back in, there's a goal! Newcastle have equalised and it's Joe Willock on the stroke of half-time.
Benfica have a penalty. Vangelis Pavlidis puffs out his cheek, stares at Thibaut Courtois and is about to strike it. Right-footed, scores! That's the roar of the Benfica faithful.
Tottenham Hotspur have moved up to fourth in the table. They've taken the lead 66 seconds into the second half. Randall Kolo Muani.
Ajax have a penalty at home to Olympiacos. They need this to go in to give themselves some hope. Kasper Dolberg, the Danish striker, steps up. It'll be right-footed and he whacks it home. Hope for Ajax. There are nine teams currently on 9 points. Straddling the 24th, 25th line to go through in the Champions League. Ismail Saibari has bent home a beauty for PSV Eindhoven. That puts the Dutch champions back into the top 24 places and therefore progression. It really is all happening in this season's Champions League on the final evening of a thrilling league phase.
On his right foot, Gordon shoots, it's deflected, it comes to Barnes who misses. A glorious chance from 4 metres out that could have won it for Newcastle.
Anatoly Trubin is forward. One last throw of the dice for Benfica. In it goes, right footed, good ball, the goalkeeper's there! Scored one of the most extraordinary Champions League moments. Anatoly Trubin has scored for Benfica, and Jose Mourinho knows that is enough to put them through. Okay, we were supposed to talk about the race eight to begin. That was the plan, and then that goal happened. So we have to start there. Kevin Hatchard, a couple of minutes before, Benfica needed to score and Anatoly Trubin caught the ball as a goalkeeper and kind of dived on it. And the whole of the stadium, including some great names of the past, kind of were like, someone needs to tell him we need to score here. There was a massive roar. Then he realised. Then a couple of minutes later, he did.
He scored.
He scored. I mean, that kind of encapsulated the complete glory of the final night, but in particular for Benfica at the end.
Well, the first thing is that Benfica came from behind in this game. That's the thing to remember. You know, they were behind the eight ball anyway, and they went behind and managed to dig deep and managed to turn the game around. But as you say, needed that final goal to make sure they got through. And then you have a situation where it's 11 against 9, so Benfica know they've got an advantage. And Frederik Auersnes, who I think is a great midfielder, I think he's quite underrated actually, he wins a free kick in midfield because he's got the desire to get to that ball first. Then he gets fouled, he wins the free kick, and then he's the man who has to take it. And you've got Jose Mourinho saying to Trubin, yes, you go forward, you get into that penalty area, because it was about loading the box. Under the most unbelievable pressure, Auesnes delivers one of the best free kicks he will ever deliver in his career. It is perfect. The curl on it, the angle, it's begging to be attacked. And who obliges? The goalkeeper. And what is amazing about the header from Trubin is that it's not just that he gets there. He gets across his marker and he guides it using the pace of the free kick to guide it beyond Courtois and into the far corner. It's just an unbelievable moment. And it's about true quality under pressure, because the amount of times we've seen a free kick like that hit the first man or sail over everyone, see it all the time. But when Auesnes had to deliver, he did. And when Trubin had to deliver, as incredibly crazy as it might seem, he did it. And it is, for me, having loved this competition for so long, it's one of my all-time favourite Champions League moments, because it was a moment of enormous consequence delivered by the most unlikely man to bring it about. So phenomenal drama.
And Mike, that when the goal went in, and in the aftermath, some moments that will kind of remain in Benfica folklore for all they've done, and they have one of the richest histories of any club in world football. But Trubin kind of grasping the realisation of what he had done, and Jose Mourinho having yet another very famous celebration in the Champions League, a competition which, of course, he has graced and had so many epic storylines in.
Indeed, yeah, Kevin alluded to it a few moments ago, that famous run down the line at Old Trafford when he was Porto manager. Tonight, in the wake of that Trubin header, he ran down the line, and this time a ball boy, probably 13 years of age, took his moment and literally just jumped into the arms of Jose Mourinho, and both of them, arm in arm, looked up towards the stand and were cheering. And yeah, that moment will go down as well. But yeah, what a way to get into the top 24 and stay in the UEFA Champions League. What would the UEFA Champions League be without Jose Mourinho?
Yes, and it'll be eyeing up much more success. And who knows who they might draw in the next round, the knockout phase playoffs. So Benfica squeezing into 24th, the final qualification spot, going through on goal difference ultimately, ahead of a clutch of other teams on 9 points. We will concentrate later on the rest of the race to finish in the top 24. Mike, you were mostly watching the games in terms of who would finish in the top eight and therefore go through directly, and that went right down to the wire as well.
It certainly did, yes. As we know, Paris, the holders, Real Madrid and Newcastle squeezed out of the top eight tonight, having started the evening in there. Moving into the top eight, Barcelona, Manchester City and Sporting. And that's where I'll start, because it was as dramatic as it was in the game that you were watching involving Benfica. Alisson Santos scored in the fourth minute of added time to give Sporting a 3-2 win. They twice came from behind in that match. They fell behind after only 3 minutes to Athletic Club. Ohan Sanchez scored. They equalised pretty quickly through Ousmane Diamande, but by half-time, Gorka Guruzeta had restored Athletic Club's lead, only for Francisco Trinçao to make it 2-2 just after the hour mark, and then it was down to Alisson Santos to get that dramatic winner, and that moved Sporting into the top eight right at the 11th hour. It was a little bit more straightforward for the likes of Barcelona and Manchester City, who began the night outside the top eight. They did their jobs, really. City 2-0 up fairly early on, a lead they held on to. Erling Haaland and Rian Cherki scored their goals. Barcelona 4-1 winners over Copenhagen, but it doesn't quite tell the whole story, because they fell behind after only 4 minutes to Copenhagen through Victor Dadison. But once the second half got underway, Barcelona took complete control. Lewandowski, Yamal with a wonderful finish, Rafinha with a penalty, and then Marcus Rashford with a free kick towards the end completed the scoring for them. Chelsea had to work hard to stay in the automatic places. They began inside them. They won 3-2 away at Napoli. They took the lead through Enzo Fernandez's penalty, only for Napoli to turn it all around by half-time. Antonio Vergara and Rasmus Højlund scored to make it 2-1 at the break. But Chelsea in the second half needed two goals from João Pedro. The latter of the two was scored in the 82nd minute to give Chelsea the win. They finish in sixth position. Spurs, fourth, is where they finished in the end. They started the night in fifth. They got second half goals through the former Eintracht Frankfurt player Randall Kolo Muani, scoring against his former club, and Dominic Solanke, a 2-0 win for Tottenham. And also a 2-0 win for Inter away at Borussia Dortmund, again in Germany. Late goals there for Federico Di Marco and substitute Andy Juf, but it wasn't quite enough for Inter. They finished 1 point outside the top eight in 10th position. Real Madrid just ahead of them, and then just behind the two teams that we focused on tonight, Paris and Newcastle.
Top stuff, Mike. You had an exceptionally busy evening. That notepad will be the stuff of legends. So this is the top eight after everything that played out, eight games each. Arsenal, winners of the league phase, 8 wins from 8. Perfect, Mikel Arteta's team. 3 points ahead of Bayern, who finished second. Liverpool third, Tottenham fourth, Barcelona fifth, Chelsea sixth, Sporting seventh, Manchester City eighth. Those eight clubs directly through to the round of 16, which means that the commentary game on Matchday Live between Paris Saint-Germain and Newcastle, Richard Connolly, and you were over this, both began the night in the top eight. Brilliant game. Both played very well and could have won the game, but ultimately, because of the draw, neither finished in the top eight.
But it made for a really spectacular finish to the game, because both teams knew that as they went into stoppage time, the score was 1-1, that the draw was not going to do the job, and both knew they had to score a goal to seal one of those coveted places in the top eight. So actually it finished in very exciting manner. Neither team was holding on for a draw. They both knew it wasn't good enough. In the end, neither got the goal, and the spectacular finish didn't happen at the Parc des Princes. But it was a really watchable football match, a really enjoyable football match. And I think from Paris's perspective, it kind of underlined the feeling that their build-up play is wonderful, the connections between the players, they look so well coached, they've got so much talent and energy, but they didn't quite finish the chances, particularly in the first half they created. Newcastle will be thrilled, having won only 3 games on the road this season, that they were able to come to the home of the European champions with all the atmosphere and all the talent that was in front of them and come very close to winning the game. They had chances late in the game to win it. Paris had more chances over the course of the 90, but Newcastle were in the game and they found a way into the game, having been outplayed for the first half an hour. And that, I think, will really thrill Eddie Howe, because he didn't have his first choice 11 available to him in parts tonight. But the players who came in did really well for him.
I'm watching live as we're recording this. Nick Pope, huge smile on his face in the mix zone doing his interview. And we can hear from Dan Byrne now as well. Local boy, Newcastle fan. What it means to him to head through to the Champions League knockout phase.
It's the first time that our club's been to the knockout stages of the Champions League, and something we're very, very proud of. And yeah, sort of more games to add to the schedule, but we're sort of very up for the challenge.
And I guess, just building on what Richard said, Kevin, prove tonight at the home of the champions that, you know, they have a game plan and the players that can really come up against the very best and be more than a match at times.
Yeah, and I think what you know with them is that physically they're never going to be short, because they're always going to come up with that intensity, they're always going to come up with that physicality. But actually what impressed me was after they'd been second best for the first half hour, 35 minutes, I thought they dug in. I thought they actually, there was a flick of a switch at one stage where I think they realised, actually, we could be a bit braver here. We can actually take this on, stay on the ball, draw a few fouls here and there, get us up the pitch. And when they started to do that, they started to cause a real problem. And it was actually, I felt, Jacob Ramsey that started to lead that charge a little bit in midfield. He won the free kick from which they equalised. And then actually, when they came out in the second half, it was much more even, I felt. Yes, Paris had their moments, had their chances, but Newcastle were a threat on the counter. And actually, what they did was they earned the right to bring on Anthony Gordon and Harvey Barnes. And those two look really dangerous. And actually, Harvey Barnes, if he'd not lost his footing with a close-range chance, probably could have won the game for Newcastle. So I think that will really build their confidence. If you can go to the home of the European champions and do that, you'll feel that you can compete with anybody.
So Paris Saint-Germain and Newcastle will go again very shortly in the knockout phase playoff. The draw later this week. Follow it all on UEFA.com and the official Champions League app. There were celebrations elsewhere. I mentioned Arsenal 3-2 winners against Kairat, winning the league phase. And we can hear now from four delighted Champions League stars who are heading straight through to the round of 16, beginning with Chelsea's João Pedro.
I think it's very positive for us because people have a lot of doubt about us. I think today you show our power, and I think it's very important for us to be in the already there.
So he will grace the last 16. So will Manchester City after 2-0 win against Galatasaray. Fairly straightforward, and we can hear from Ryan Cherki now.
We are very, very proud because Galatasaray is a very good team. We do the good game, we win. That is very important for us. I'm very, very proud. I'm playing for the top club and I'm very happy to be here.
Tottenham 2-0 winners away at Frankfurt. Excellent result for them and for Thomas Frank. His first season as a coach in the Champions League, and he is heading to the last 16.
I think this game, I think we are more or less in control from beginning to the end of the game. I think that's a big thing. I need to say, you've seen some of the results in Champions League tonight. See some results throughout the league phase. There's no easy games. So we are sitting here with 17 points, finishing fourth in the group stage, 16 sheet. I think it's very impressive. But throughout the game today, I think we were good in the high pressure. I think we looked strong when defended low. And I'm very happy how we progressed with the ball and how we got quicker up the pitch. And then, of course, still working on creating. But I think we created quite a lot today, which I'm very pleased with. So, yeah, very, very happy with that. And then, of course, the fans, I think, was fantastic. Very happy so many that travel in numbers and the support throughout the game.
Barcelona, another team, straight into the round of 16. They trailed against Copenhagen, who at that stage were themselves going to secure a spot in the top 24. Ultimately, they missed out. We'll get into more details on that, but we can hear from a very happy Marcus Rashford.
The defensive work and the clean sheets is very important to us, and with this, we should win most games if we keeping clean sheets in the back. So it's something for us to focus on and to work on. But today was about winning the game and score as many goals as possible, because we didn't know the results of the other game. So yeah, in the end, it's all okay. You know, we qualify in the top eight, and yeah, we're very happy for this.
There we go. Some insight from Marcus Rashford. So the Barcelona players were told, go out, don't worry about elsewhere, and just score as many goals as you can. That is the race for the top eight reviewed. Next, the battle to finish in the top 24.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So, the top 24, and ultimately the difference between extending a Champions League season and heading out of Europe was quite remarkable, really. In the 60th minute, the goals started to go in, and there were six teams on 9 points, straddling either side of that 24th, 25th cut-off point. In the 70th minute, Kevin, nine teams were on 9 points. So quite literally every goal was having frankly ridiculous ramifications. And at the end of the night, after Benfica's 98th minute winner, there were five teams on 9 points. We've talked about Benfica, and we could talk about Benfica for the next 2 hours. We wouldn't get bored, given what they've achieved. But Bodo Glimt, the other team to kind of win this mini race. What a story for the team from the Arctic Circle, who beat Manchester City to give themselves a chance last week, and they followed it up tonight. Debut season in the competition, and they are through to the knockout phase playoffs.
Cannot begin to tell you how impressive this is for so many reasons. We know about their rise over the last few seasons. They hadn't won the league before. Now they've won the league multiple times. They hadn't really got that much experience of Europe. Now they've beaten Roma 6-1 in a conference league. They've beaten Lazio, they've beaten Porto. They've beaten a number of teams. But they felt going into the last two games of this league phase, they hadn't really rewarded themselves. They've had good performances, haven't got the results to go with them. They beat Manchester City. They go to the Metropolitano to beat Atletico Madrid. Nobody does that. Nobody goes to Atleti and wins. They have an unbelievable home record in all competitions. To achieve what they have, bearing in mind their domestic season finished weeks ago,
yeah,
is just phenomenal. It speaks to the mental strength of the players. They've done an incredible amount of work on the mental side of the game, on dealing with pressure, on how to deal with setbacks when things go against them. And all of that hard work has really paid off. And Kjetil Knudsen, the coach, has done some of the most phenomenal work across this continent in the last few years. And there are very few coaching achievements to match it, I would say, in the last 4 or 5 years. It's just an amazing body of work.
They only had 3 points going into match day 7 against Manchester City. They drew 3 games against Slavia Praha and Tottenham. Those were the first 2 games. And then Borussia Dortmund prior to the City win. But tonight, I mean, the second goal, the winning goal scored by Kasper Hoog, who has really come to the fore in the last week with 3 goals across those 2 games, was... what one almighty scramble. They were desperate to try and get the ball in. Atleti were desperately trying to keep the ball out, and in the end, Ho stepped up to score. But yeah, the comeback from a goal down early on. Sørloth had scored in the 15th minute before Fredrik Sjøvold equalised just before half time. What a comeback, as Kevin says, to win away at the Metropolitano is a real fillip, and they got themselves into the top 24, having started the night in 28th place.
Astonishing. Richard, they were playing in the third tier of Norwegian football in the early 90s, and here they are now amongst this season the top 24 clubs in Europe.
Yeah, it's a remarkable rise, and it's refreshing to note that there are 11 nations represented among the top 24. So it's going to be quite a cosmopolitan knockout phase, which I think is, you know, the usual suspects are in large number there. 6 clubs from England have got through to the last 24, 5 in the top 8, but have representatives from Norway, from Azerbaijan, Turkey, Belgium and Greece. It's good for the competition too.
What a year for Norwegian football, by the way.
True.
You know, have qualified for the World Cup, have got some great attacking talent, and now Bodø Glimt have done something unprecedented for them, and just a huge step forward for Norwegian football in general.
And when it changed from the group phase or group stage to the league phase, the extra teams, the idea was to extend the breadth of European football, give more nations the chance to compete at the top table, and you see it tonight. You're reaping rewards. You mentioned how many nations now in the knockout stage of the Champions League, and whatever happens, and we will talk about the bracket now because we know some of the options of who might draw each other.
Yeah,
there's going to be some very interesting fixtures.
Well, do you want to go there for Bodo Glimt right now?
Yes.
I mean, what they've earned through their exploits in the last two rounds of the league phase is a Champions League knockout tie against either Real Madrid or Inter. That the same is true for Benfica with the way that the knockouts,
wow,
are going to be structured. But for Bodo Glimt, you talked about being in the third tier of Norwegian football. Here they are now. They're about to play a knockout tie at home against either Real Madrid or Inter. That just encapsulates the astonishing nature of the rise. It will be the greatest occasion in that club's history.
brilliant stuff for them, and fully deserved. The other team that we must talk about in terms of the race for the top 24, Club Brugge. Something about the final night of the league phase. A year ago, they were sat on the
them,
pitch.
It was them, wasn't it? Yes.
They were sat on the pitch of the, in the City of Manchester Stadium, looking at their phones to work out whether they were through, and they were. This season, they roared to a 3-0 win at home to Marseille. 2-0 up in 11 minutes. And again, Richard, you know, a club who have reached European finals, of course, but for Club Brugge, back-to-back seasons in the knockout stages of the Champions League is a serious achievement.
Yeah, that really is a staggering achievement, and one they'll be very proud of across the whole of Belgium, not least because their neighbours in the Netherlands have seen both of their clubs go out of the competition tonight. So it's a real feather in the cap for Club Brugge, and their reward's going to be a tie against Juventus or Atletico Madrid.
Different coach as well, because it was Nicky Hyen last season. He was getting, rightly, a lot of plaudits. They made a coaching change earlier in the campaign. Ivan Lecko came in, and he's been able to get them over the line as well. So really impressive progress. And you look at some of the guys that have been there all along, guys like Simon Mignolet, Hans van Aken, their experience has been so, so important. They've got a nice little smattering of young talent in there as well. So really impressive effort. And against a Marseille team that I think under De Zerbi has the potential to be very, very exciting, but just hasn't been able to quite get over the line.
And from their point of view, they were the team that when Anatoly Trubin scored, dropped out on goal difference for Marseille. One other storyline which we need to talk about, Karabag were beaten at Anfield 6-0. However, through, finishing 22nd. First time in their history into the knockout phase, second season in the Champions League proper. That again, back to Richard's point, we have a Norwegian team and a side from Azerbaijan in the knockout stages of this grand old competition.
Fully deserved. Fully deserved. Because you go back to the fact they've come through so many qualifiers, so they absolutely earn their place in the league phase. You look at match day one, got to go to Benfica, that's a tough game. You go behind, and then they dig in and they turn it round with some brilliant attacking football. And that's what I really admire about them. They're not a team that tries to just squeeze results out and dig in and make themselves tough to beat. No, they play really nice combination football. You look at guys like Camilo Duran has played really well. You look at Abdellah Zubir, very experienced. Leandro Andrade has been excellent. And Hurban Hurbanov, who's been their coach since 2008. What an incredible reward for him for all of the work he's done, all of the stability he's given this football club over the best part of a couple of decades.
Yeah.
And that is his reward. This has been coming. A bit like Bode Glimt in the sense that they did it in the Conference League, Bode Glimt. They did it in the Europa League, went really deep. Now they're doing it in the Champions League. Karabakh have played a lot of games in the Europa League when they haven't quite made it to the Champions League. They've got that bank of experience and they've used it really well.
And I would like just a shout out to Paphos as well.
Yes.
Another a debutant this season, falling agonisingly short. A handsome win against Slavia Praha, almost enough. A couple more goals or a couple less goals for some other teams, and ultimately they would have been through. They finished 26th. You talked about the reward for Karabag. Richard, you have the bracket up. Who might they meet? They have a couple of options in the draw.
Well, Newcastle and Paris Saint-Germain have finished alongside one another in the table in 11th and 12th. So those two teams will face either Monaco, who finished 21st, or Karabag, who are 22nd. So Karabag will face either Newcastle United or come to the Parc des Princes and face Paris Saint-Germain. So they'll get a terrific knockout tie.
That's really interesting as well, because so there could be Paris against Monaco potentially. So that's going to be, if that ends up being the tie, it might not be. But if it does, there'll be quite an interesting parallel there. But I do genuinely think, we've talked about Karabakh, we've talked about Bode Glimt. I think the floor of European football at this level has come up. I think the teams now in this league phase are so competitive now. And you look at some of the teams that have gone out who finished pretty high in top European leagues. Eintracht Frankfurt are out, Villarreal are out. You know, these are These are teams that have not only done well last season to qualify for the Champions League, Villarreal are still going well in La Liga, and yet haven't been able to get through to the top 24. And what that shows you is just how competitive this tournament is. I think it's fascinating, I really do.
That knockout phase playoff is on Friday, 12 o'clock local time, the draw for the knockout phase playoffs. And you can follow it, of course, on the Champions League app and on UEFA.com. Those that finished 9th to 16th seeded and will face a team play 17th to 24th. And in principle, the seeded team will play the second leg at home. And as we know, the bracket is also live on UEFA.com, so you can go and check it out. Gents, you've kind of talked about your potential standout ties. Mike, anything that, and we don't know the exact draw yet, but it's always great to kind of plot and see who might face who. Is there anything for you that really stands out?
Not really that anything that the other guys haven't mentioned already. It is very much an or situation in terms of the knockout phase. I think obviously Benfica playing Real Madrid again in the knockout playoffs would be very intriguing. Looking beyond that, obviously it's even more guesswork as to who'll play who, but clearly a lot of the big clubs are going to avoid each other, even in the round of 16 phase, obviously Arsenal and Bayern München, who finished first and second. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that draw to see who gets who and who could get who in the round of 16.
I'm just looking at one of the potential brackets. Am I right in thinking there, Richards? Could be Dortmund against Leverkusen. Am I right in thinking
that is correct.
That is potential.
With the winner potentially to face Bayern.
With my Bundesliga hat on.
Potentially.
I mean, potentially.
That,
yes.
That would take a number of things to happen. But
with my Bundesliga hat on, very, very interesting.
Well, I've got a difficult question now that you've had a moment of enjoyment. Moment of the night, and we're probably all thinking of the same one.
I'm guessing we're not allowed Trubin because that's way too obvious, right?
Whoever picks Trubin, obviously that's absolutely fine. Everyone else has to think of a different one.
Kasper Hoeg scoring the winning goal for Bode to take them through.
Well, I guess Joe Willock's equaliser for Newcastle. They gained a lot of belief from that moment. May serve them well in the later stages of the competition.
And Alisson Santos's goal in the fourth minute of added time to win it for Sporting in similar fashion to Benfica to take them into the top eight.
OK, I'll have Anatoly Trubin then.
Take it.
You commentated on it, so you deserve to get it.
Someone's got to take it.
Absolutely. And let's hear from the player or the goalkeeper who had the final say on this incredible final night of the Champions League phase. Here is Benfica's hero.
When we had corner... free kick, sorry. And after I see everyone start to pick at me and go. And after I see also Mister do it. So I come and I ask. So we need one more goal. And I don't know what to say. Crazy moment. I did it. And I don't know what to say actually. I'm not Pavlidis used to score. So for me it was something completely new. I don't know. I'm 24 years old, and for me it's first time.
Taking it all in, and richly deserved. Congratulations to him. That is just about all we have time for on an amazing night. 18 matches kicking off all at once, and what a way to end. My thanks to Kevin, Richard and Mike. We'll be back for the first knockout phase playoff matches in just a few weeks' time. That's the good thing. The Champions League doesn't break for long. Tuesday, the 17th of February, our coverage on Match Day Live gets underway at about 15 minutes before the matches kick off. And remember to follow the draw, which takes place this Friday, the 30th of January. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.